Throughout the journey of my life, I have had occasions that have made me angry at God. And I, you know, it may seem, you know, well, quite blasphemous that you're saying that, Father, but it does happen. It happens to all of us. I think of three particular events in the course of life. First one is this. In 1980, I graduate with a dual degree in English and elementary education. I'm living in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. There is a major tax revolt, and in tax revolts, the first thing to go are cuts in the school department. No, there were no new hires in that entire state that year in education. But I moved to New York City, where I found a job with the Catholic school system of the Archdiocese of New York. I get a job, told them I'm going to be teaching third grade in this elementary school. Well, the day before school begins, I received a call from the sister principal of that school saying she's changing my role there. I will not be teaching third grade. I'll be teaching seventh grade. And she says to me, "You'll be very happy doing that." Well, I was not. First week, I was quite miserable, because up to this point, all of my, you know, experience was with younger children, preschool children. Besides, I was 21 years old, and I had students in front of me who were 7 years younger. Not a good match, not a good mix. But sister did help me, but at the same time, I said, "Oh God, what am I doing here? Why did you send me here?" And as I said, sister did get me help. She sent an elderly sister to mentor me, to help me and help manage the class, help me teach, and worked well. And I did that, you know, for a number of years before going for a degree in social work. I received my degree in social work. Got a job at Bellevue Hospital working with homeless, mentally ill, drug-addicted men and women. And it was a good job. But there was one time in the early part of my career there, I wondered, what was I doing? Because people relapse. In spite of all the hard work, and all the education that is given and the placement that is done for patients for once they leave the hospital, it fell through, because I would see them out in the street again. And I simply said, "God, I am angry. Why do you have me here? What am I to do?" In 2015, no. Let me go back. In 2012, my superior says to me, "I'm sending you to St. Andrew Catholic Church in Fort Worth, Texas." And the then pastor, Father Tom, says to me, "You'll be very happy here." And first 2 years, very happy. Until one day when a parishioner had sent a letter to Father Tom about something I had said. Now, there's nothing worse than someone going to authority before going to the person who is the cause of the action, because it puts that person who was not a witness to whatever happened to be in the middle. And what she said was not very nice. She even went to the point saying, "I should be sent back to where I came from." And Father Tom said, "Well, it's par for the course, par for the ministry. It's not about you, it's about her. But most of all, it's about you and God." And thus, that is really true about all these events that I've spoken to you about. We are all in situations that are good, but can't be good all the time. Things happen. We do get discouraged, and we do get angry with God. But one time I once said, God, I have a bone to pick with you. The idea of telling God sounds irreverent. It's blasphemous. Our Hebrew ancestors knew that along with love, praise, and petition, a deep relationship with God can withstand angry outbursts. Our father of faith, Abraham, questioned God about why he could not have a child with his wife, Sarah, but a child with his slave, an Egyptian slave, Ishmael. This question took Abraham to a point where God made a promise greater than Abraham could ever imagine, because he says to him, look up the heavenly stars. I will promise that you have more descendants than there are stars in heaven. Then we have Moses, who tried to avoid confronting the Egyptians by claiming a speech impediment. God reminded him of who gave humans the power of speech and then promised the human help he needed to do what he's called to do. In today's first reading, we hear Jeremiah cry out to God, you duped me. In other words, Jeremiah is saying, God, you tricked me, and I allowed myself to be tricked. Jeremiah did not know what he was getting in for himself when God called him to be his prophet. Jeremiah was rejected. Jeremiah was tossed out by the people to whom he was sent to bring God's word to. As I said, this seems blasphemous, turning against God. But Jeremiah continues to pray, I will speak his name no more, but then it becomes like fire burning my heart. I can't withstand it. It's about to break my bones. From this, Jeremiah receives a new perspective. God gives him a mindset and a course of action he didn't want but could not refuse. Today's gospel invites us into a tense moment between Peter and Jesus. Last week's gospel contains Peter's proclamation of faith when Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? And Peter confesses, you are the Messiah, you are my Lord and God. That is the profession of faith. However, in today's gospel, Jesus tells the disciples that being the Messiah is not what they would like to imagine. Peter is upset that Jesus is telling the disciples that there is suffering involved, even death. Echoing his words to the devil himself, Jesus tells Peter to get behind him. This is not a dismissal, but an invitation to remember why he followed him in the first place. To live a life of joy that comes from the freedom to be servants to others. Jesus is inviting the disciples to an all or nothing choice. Become a part of me or make your own path to your own path to wherever it will lead. Both Jeremiah and Peter had a bone to pick with God. both of them, it had to do with going to where they had never intended to go. Jeremiah did receive a new perspective. Nothing was forced on him. Nothing was forced on Peter and the disciples. They had their own ideas, and God led them beyond to what was safe for them. Thus, our life is the same way. All things begin and end with God. God does not cause suffering. God does not call harm. But we sometimes question, God, why am I here? What am I to do? I am confused. I am hurt. I thought that I was going to get that promotion or that job. Or I thought I would be reconciled with that person who hurt me. In those moments of temptation and darkness, that is when we are to go to God, because it is not about us. It is about God and how God works in our lives. And in turn, that calls us for trust. And we are allowed to be angry. But we are not to be in a state of anger to the point that spills out onto others, through our thoughts, words, actions, and deeds. We go to God saying, God, help me. Help me to understand. But we can also say the prayer from Psalm 121. God, I look to the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who is my guide. So as we continue with our liturgy, let us be grateful for the gifts that God has given to us, the challenges that he gives us, but continue to ask for the grace to persevere in our faith and what we are called to do.